Welcome to Sleeper Wire.
Sleeper Wire! Sleeper Wire! Sleeper Wire! Sleeper Wire!
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition here, the Sleeper Wire Show. I am Steven Spacquartelli, and joined with me today, I have Rob Rose and George. Gentlemen, how are you doing? George, how's it going, buddy?
Sir, I am just a ball of energy that can barely be contained.
Wow, I like it.
I'm sorry. Sorry, all these days being cooped up in the house is really starting to affect me.
See, now you got somewhere to just let all that go. George is bringing some fire today. I like it. Robbie, what do you got going on, man? How you doing?
Been a lot of work recently, so, you know, that's not a complaint. I know a lot of people are out of work right now, and certainly thoughts and prayers are with you guys. Stay tight and keep your head up, and this is all going to pass eventually, so we'll get through this together, guys. But for now, let's kick some ass on some fantasy football podcast.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Let's keep you guys entertained, man. There's definitely some tough times, as Rob was talking about. So everybody stay safe out there. And, you know, let's try and get through all this together and do what we got to do to get through these times. So what we're going to do today, first, follow Sleeper Wire Show on Twitter. That's at Sleeper Wire Show. You can follow Rob at esorbor1, George at BFTGpod, and then myself at SPAC21. And what I kind of want to go through today with these guys is walking through wide receivers for you dynasty owners out there. You know, cover some teams that could be looking at wide receivers along with, you know, what we've seen as far as free agency goes, maybe some landing spots for some of these rookie wide receivers that we'll talk about. So just kind of get a feel of it. If you guys heard the top six rookie running back show that we did, this is going to be kind of the same feel. And I know that, George, you guys had touched about on this a little bit too, but the first thing I kind of want to jump into is the Hopkins trade. You know, this obviously happened a little bit ago, and it's definitely an absolute asinine deal in my mind for what the details were. You know, you're talking about one of the top wide receivers in the game. That to me, I think a lot of people think he's going to regress. You know, I can still see him being top five this year. We'll see. But that's just kind of my standpoint on that. So real quick, Rob, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Kyler Murray has one of the top five all-time wide receivers, albeit he's a little over the hill already, in Larry Fitzgerald. So the injection of talent doesn't necessarily make me think immediately that he's going to be infinitely better. However, we are talking about DeAndre Hopkins, and we are talking about Kyler Murray. So there's a lot of potential between the pairing. And I think DeAndre Hopkins is still top 10. And I have a hard time naming five other guys in that top 10 who will be better. So I think he's still going to be a top five contender.
Yeah, the biggest thing that sticks out to me, man, is just like what Hopkins was able to do even before Deshaun Watson showed up. So That's just kind of the way I look at it, right? And I mean, maybe a lot of times that his stats were helped out by, you know, garbage time with what the Texans had going on. They were obviously always playing from behind, so you're just slinging the ball. But I mean, with Kyler Murray, he's obviously shown a lot of promise last year. He's a creative guy. He's a very good passer. You know, if they can just keep him from running around and actually get him some protection, that's only going to make him that much more dangerous. So, I mean, the next guy that we'll look at here is Amari Cooper. You know, he's going to be, you know, we'll talk about free agent signings here. Amari Cooper, he's going to be 26 here in 2020. He signed a five-year deal worth $100 million with the Cowboys. This is something I personally didn't see coming. I'm kind of curious as to how they're going to get this worked out with Dak now, because the Cowboys don't really have a whole lot of cap space. But obviously, it's he was a good pairing there. He's in a good situation. I mean, George, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what do you think? Dallas is still going to be able to get something done and be able to retain a lot of their team, because they're going to have a lot of money tied up in Cooper, Dak, and Zeke.
So before I give you my thoughts on Cooper, I want to go back real quick.
Okay.
And talk about DeAndre Hopkins. I think you guys are missing the big picture with that trade. So everybody else is out here playing checkers while Bill O'Brien's out here playing 4D chess. DeAndre Hopkins is 27 years old. 6 years from now, he'll be 33. And whatever player they draft with that second round pick that they got will only be 27. And that's what Bill O'Brien was truly thinking when he made that trade. He's thinking long term here. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be around forever. So let me get this nice rookie here that will be here in 6 years. I think that's what he was thinking.
Yeah, well, if that's what he's thinking, that's one thing. But let's see if he's going to retain. Let's see if he can retain his quarterback now.
I think that's what? The most logical thing that he was thinking. I mean, otherwise, it makes no sense. So I think that logically speaking, I think that's what he was thinking.
No, dude, cocaine is a hell of a drug. That's all we got to say.
I agree. I have not heard one person come up with any good justification for that trade. And that was the best I had. It's like, hey, you know, 6 years from now, Hopkins will be 33. You know, he'll be slowly starting to be phased out, and I'm going to have a 27-year-old player in his prime. I mean, why not?
So based on that statement alone from George, we now know the mastermind behind Bill O'Brien's operations. It is George right here on this show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm
telling you. That guy's out here playing 4D chess while the rest of us are trying to play checkers. I'm telling you.
I don't know what he's playing. Like Rob said, cocaine's a hell of a drug. But
but anyway, let's move on to DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, that
DeAndre
was Hopkins. Great.
Amari Cooper. I'm sorry. I had to get that one in. I couldn't let it slide.
Oh, God. That was comedy right there.
So Amari Cooper. So if you look at what he did on the back half of the season last year, like he wasn't very good. If you look at the stats, Michael Gallup was actually their number one receiver the second half of the season. He led the team in targets, he led the team in yards, and I think he led the team in touchdowns. I may be wrong on that, but I know he led the team in targets and yards. I don't know where they're going to get the money to pay Dak. They've made a couple of big, you know, Jerry Jones splashy signings so far this offseason along their defensive line. They're talking about, I seen a thing on Twitter today where they're starting to go back to negotiating a new contract for Dak. This team is literally going to be the Rams 2-3 years from now, where they're going to have all these high priced players, and they're already in cap hell. They're going to be even in more cap hell, and they're just going to have to start liquidating assets left and right. I don't know what they're doing. It makes no sense at all to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know Dak's already turned down two contracts from the Dallas Cowboys in this situation. So I really don't know what they're going to do. And obviously their future has a lot of question marks in regards to all that. I mean, Rob, where do you stand on this whole thing?
I don't know that I would have paid Amari Cooper $100 million. I don't think that would have been my decision. Jerry Jones is known to make some wacky moves for Jerry World down there. So that one is bamboozling. But on Dak Prescott, at a certain point, what's the difference between $33 million and $34
million? A million.
Like, stop being
selfish. I mean, that's simple math.
Stop being selfish, Dak. Like, what in the actual hell? Like, dude, you are going to keep your team from being able to put pieces around you by demanding an extra $1 million a year? Like, what are we talking about here, guys? The difference between a beach house in Boca Raton or a beach house in Miami Beach? Like, forgive me for not feeling any bit sorry for somebody who's trying to coax extra millions of dollars out of somebody when we just had 3.2 million people file for unemployment.
No, yeah, absolutely, man. And I mean, unfortunately, that's the market for the NFL quarterback right now. And guys that are the younger quarterbacks that have established roles and teams are in a position to do this, as crazy as it sounds, to the point that you just made, with all these people filing for unemployment. So it's like, it's kind of a, it's a perspective thing, you know, and I think the CBA actually getting done, kind of aids him in that regard too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause maybe he was going to want to try and get something done, you know, if they didn't come to an agreement or whatever. But like, I did the Sleeper Wire short episode on Michael Gallup, and I kind of talked about this. Like, I fully anticipated that they were going to tag Cooper, sign Dak, and then whether Cooper played under the tag or whatever, I don't know. 'Cause I mean, they drafted Michael Gallup to be the number one originally, and they fell in a unique situation where they traded a first round pick to get Amari Cooper, you know, and Gallup's during his rookie season. So I don't know. It's interesting that they're going to end up having a lot of money tied up in three players, and they're going to end up losing some people in return with all of it. So who the hell knows? I guess we'll see as time moves on.
Can I throw a Madden trade at you real quick that I would absolutely love to see?
Sure.
I would love to see Miami trade the 1-5 and the 125 to Dallas for Dak Prescott.
Gross.
You say gross.
I wouldn't do it.
As a Dolphins fan, I would absolutely love that.
That is disgusting.
And that would allow them possibly to get Tua, or they could use the two first-round draft picks to move up to secure a second quarterback.
But why, though?
For the reason you just mentioned, the cost, the money. Your team is significantly...
But you as a Dolphins fan, why would you want Dak?
Oh, because I love Dak. I think Dak's a hell of a quarterback. I really do. I think he's a... Honestly, I think in the NFL, he's probably a top 7 or top 8 quarterback. I would much rather take the sure thing than spend a draft pick on Tua and come to find out that hip is just jacked up beyond what we even thought, or take another quarterback and them just flame out because they're just not,
I mean,
just not there.
Realistically, they're in a position, though. We'll get back on track in a second here, but they're in a position to where they have draft capital this year to where they could fill a lot of holes on that roster, run another year with their quarterbacks that they have, still shit the bed, and then be in a position to draft, you know, at least be in a running for Trevor Lawrence next year, too. You never know. I mean, it could go a lot of ways.
We won't be in the running for Trevor Lawrence next year.
It could go a lot of ways. I wouldn't want to give up all that draft capital for the amount of holes that you have to fill on that team. Basically, that's what I'm getting at.
I would look at that as we traded Minka Fitzpatrick and a first for Dak Prescott is how I would view that trade. And I think that's a solid trade.
Well, there you go, Miami fans.
I mean... Listen, Miami fucked up when they didn't take Drew Brees over Dante Culpepper. So yeah. I've been bitter ever since. I would love to see him just go out and trade for a quarterback that we know what we're getting. We've seen him, you know, play in games, and somebody we could continue to build around for the future, because we have a ton of money projected next year. Plus, we got a ton of draft picks next year as well. So we could definitely load up around Dak. No problem at all.
Yeah, that's a team that I'm actually watching going forward, because they do have a lot of things going for them, not only this offseason, but next offseason. So yeah. I'm really kind of curious to see how all that's going to develop, to be perfectly honest with you, especially, you know, from a dynasty standpoint. Let's look at AJ Green here. He's going to be 32 this year, and he was tagged by the Bengals. This is something that myself, I kind of anticipated. I really couldn't see him going anywhere. I mean, he's been hurt. Not really sure how many teams were going to want to roll the dice on him. Not really sure if the Bengals were going to want to, you know, give him, even if it was a, you know, 2-year deal or something like that. So he's going to be good there. He's obviously been good there for a while. They have other pieces in that offense, and they're trying to do more to, I guess, not necessarily entice, but maybe build a comfort zone. You know, if they do draft Burrow number one, unless somebody offers a king's ransom to move up to one to take Burrow, because to me, even this early, I don't see anybody else going number one besides Burrow. But I mean, as far as AJ Green goes, I mean, Rob, where do you stand with that situation, man?
Since this is more dynasty focused, I mean, if I have him on a win now team, I'm going to hold him. But any place else, you know, good Lord, he's been nothing but on your IR for the last couple of years. And his value has basically never been lower. The QB situation is up in the air, so he could still have a year in him. I don't think he's done. If he gets a good, accurate quarterback, Burrow or Tua, either I think would do the trick. AJ Green is a big man and can use that frame to his advantage and will be able to use that frame. So I assume he comes back and looks pretty good, but I don't know how much longer AJ Green's going to be able to do it. I think that's the thing that scares me. He has been so injury prone, and I would not be surprised to see him end up getting injured again with there being limited time. With what this virus is probably going to do to the timetable for no OTAs, no spring workouts, they're talking about maybe training camp being able to get people out there. That's going to be hard, I think, for his body to really prepare for this upcoming season. So I think it may be possible unless he is doing everything right and really taking care of himself. So
let me ask you guys this. If AJ Green does play full 16 games, where do you guys think he'll finish if he stays on the Bengals?
Top 10.
Man, that's tough. Rookie quarterback, man.
Yeah, see, I have him outside the top 12. Yeah. I actually have him outside the top 15. I have him at 18.
See, I was gonna put him anywhere between like 13 to 16 is kind of where I was thinking, but that was just gonna depend too on the quarterback play. You know, if Burrow goes there and he plays 16 games, I think he'll be one hell of a target for Burrow, and that'll be a heavy target for him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but now see me, if I'm a dynasty team that whether I'm rebuilding or even if I'm a team that's win now, if you're a win now team, chances are you're there without AJ Green because realistically he really hasn't played a whole lot in recent years. So I'm still trying to sell him either way. I don't know about you guys. What would you do, George?
So I have him on a dynasty roster. The team I have him on, it's not a bad team, but it's definitely not a contender. And I've fielded offers for him, and they're just so bad that I'm holding. Just because I'm a middle-of-the-pack team, I can't get fair value for him, or at least what is perceived as fair value. Right. So I'm holding because I can't sell. I'd be selling almost 50 cents on the dollar. Can't do that. So if you got AJ Green right now, I think you're holding.
But you go through the draft, they take Burrow, they take Tua, whichever one.
I think you're still holding. Honestly, I don't think you're going to be, even if, like, so if right now people are expecting them to take Burrow. So if they go through and they actually draft Burrow, nothing changes. Like, they did exactly what you thought he would do or they would do. The value doesn't change.
True, but you never know who you have in your leagues, right? Because you always have fanboys too that sometimes gets a little excited about things. So that's just kind of one way. Like, you always got to put your feelers out. I mean, value is going to swing at different times throughout the off season. So that's just one thing that I always revisit. But I mean, honestly, even if I'm getting a portion of the perceived value, I'm still going to sell them.
I would like just a little more than 50 cents.
Yeah.
55.
So, no, I'm talking at least 75. So what I actually plan on doing, because like I said, I know for a fact this team is not a championship team. It still needs a little bit of work. I've got quite a few draft picks this year. I got 3 draft picks in the first round. I've got the 101, the 107, and the 112, plus I have the 201. So I can load up pretty decent with this draft. So what I'm hoping to do is, if AJ Green goes out and has, you know, 2 or 3 good games right out of the box, that's your window to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I plan on doing.
Well, hopefully you get that opportunity, man, because my concern with him is that he's going through camp, he's going through preseason, and then that's when he gets injured. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen, but that's what worries me, and that's why I would sell him. So Emmanuel Sanders, this guy actually fell into an amazing – I'm sad to see him go from San Francisco, first off. That kind of broke my heart a little bit. But he'll be 33 in 2020, signed a two-year deal, $16 million with the Saints. Now, this is something that's been talked about for a while, is that the Saints really haven't had a number two guy. Now, Emmanuel Sanders sitting next to Michael Thomas. You still have Kamara out of the backfield. Breeze signed a two-year deal. You know, does he, if they actually come in and win it all this year, does he play the second year? I don't know. It's hard to say, but we know right as of right now, Breeze, two more years. You're looking at those four guys together potentially for the next 2 years. Looks very, very, very nice on paper. Now, I really want to see how this goes. We already know what the other three do, but how Sanders fits in, I think he's going to do quite well. I mean, Rob, what do you think of this? I mean, for me, if I'm a win now team and I can get Sanders for like a late second, mid to late second, I would do it. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, Emmanuel Sanders is taking over the role of aging speedster on the New Orleans Saints, taking over for Ted Ginn Jr., who played that role admirably for a few years there. Okay, so in reality, though, Emmanuel Sanders is going to fill a role that hasn't been needed to fill for a while, and that's a wide receiver, too, to go across from Michael Thomas. So now that you have somebody that can actually be a threat to the secondary as well, I think we really are going to see a reborn passing attack down there in New Orleans. Drew Brees is going to have multiple targets that he can use. And while he's been forced to feed Michael Thomas at a ridiculous rate, I think that kind of takes, I don't want to say takes the value from Michael Thomas. Like, he's not usurping any real target share. He's just going to condense other players in my opinion, but he has to eat into it just a little bit because you can't keep that kind of rate up. You know that there's probably going to be some regression in the amount of targets that Michael Thomas sees, and Emmanuel Sanders is certainly good enough and quick enough to be able to cause some havoc out there if he can get open with too much coverage on Michael Thomas. So I think he's a good fit. Who's playing tight end for the Saints right now?
Jared Cook.
Well, okay. So Jared Cook last year wasn't exactly anything at all for you. He hurt a lot of people, so that could actually really help get that whole passing attack back into alignment there, and I think we could see everybody's value kind of level out a little bit. George?
I think he's going to – obviously, I don't think Michael Thomas is going to get 185 targets again this year with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. I could see 50 of those targets sliding right over to Emmanuel Sanders. I don't see Latavius Murray getting 45 targets again this year. So I'll take 20 from him, slide those over to Jared Cook. So now you got Jared Cook at about 70 targets. I think that's about where he's going to end up at the end of the year. 70 targets, maybe 50 to 55 catches. I'm not convinced that this is a great fantasy move as much as I'm convinced it's a great move for the Saints themselves. Like, I love this for Michael Thomas because it does give him another threat on the field, another target that the defense is going to have to pay attention to. I like it for Jared Cook. It's going to open things up a little for him. I like it for Kamara. I love it for Drew Brees. But as far as a fantasy impact, I think it's a better NFL signing than I think it's going to be a fantasy signing. The Saints like to run the ball. They've been one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL the last few years. Drew Brees is not getting any younger, so I don't think they're going to go back to where Drew Brees is throwing the ball 500-600 times a year. I think they're going to want to continue what they were doing, running the ball, and I think it's a better NFL signing than it will end up being a fantasy signing. I'm just not that overly excited fantasy-wise for it.
See, I think in the PPR league, I'm looking at Emmanuel Sanders being a solid wide receiver three on your team. Because you're talking about the 70 targets to Jared Cook. I see that more towards Sanders. Because think about Sanders and Michael Thomas is both of them are very good route runners. They get great separation, whether it's on deep shots, whether it's underneath or whatever the case may be. You're right. Breeze is an older guy. I don't see them taking a lot of downfield shots. Both of those wide receivers can stretch the field, and they both get great separation. So it's kind of pick your poison, right? Especially on defense. And you still have Kamara. And you still have a huge target in Jared Cook in the third down situations, in the red zone. Michael Thomas as well, big physical receiver. So I don't know. I think it's both. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying Emmanuel Sanders is going to be like wide receiver one, wide receiver two.
Oh yeah, no.
But I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver three in PPR.
Wide receiver three, maybe a four. I can get on board with that.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yes,
that's where I'm going with it, and that's what I'm saying. If I'm a win now team for the next like year or two, or whatever, for me a mid to late second round pick, if I can get Sanders, that I'd be happy with that. Especially because that's just, you know, valuable depth on your roster and is somebody that you can plug and play whenever you need it, so on and so forth, or even potentially play him on a weekly basis. Because, again, this guy gets great separation. All he has to do is get time with Breeze, get the timing, so on and so forth, and I think it'll be fine. And it's just going to make that offense that much more potent and a little bit more dangerous this year. So Robbie Anderson, he'll be 27 this year, and he's assigned a two-year deal, $20 million with the Panthers. Now, George, I'm going to kick it to you first because you have DJ Moore. I mean, they obviously just lost Greg Olsen. There was all the hype, and we saw some good flashes out of Curtis Samuel last year. And obviously, they just released Cam Newton. They traded Kyle Allen. But I'm kind of confused by the Robbie Anderson signing because, I mean, to me, Anderson is more of a field stretcher. He's a decent route runner. He has good hands, but he's more of a field stretcher. Then you have your gadget guys and Samuel and DJ Moore and obviously Christian McCaffrey. Those are the kind of guys that fit Bridgewater better. Not really sure where Robbie Anderson's going to fit into this any more than he was already fitting in with the Jets. What are your thoughts, George?
I'm just as confused as you are. So you go out and you get what is probably considered the best field stretcher in free agency this year, and Robbie Anderson. Listen, it's always good to have field stretchers on your team, but last year, in almost 200 attempts, Teddy Bridgewater's average yards per attempt was 7.1 yards. So it's not like he's taking very many shots deep. And the Saints, as we discussed, had the weapons for him to take shots deep. So I'm not sure why it doesn't make sense. He does the same thing as Curtis Samuel does, but Curtis Samuel's cheaper. So I'm not sure. I think it's going to hurt. I'll be in the minority here. I think it's going to hurt DJ Moore's value a little bit. I think it's going to hurt Curtis Samuel's value. I think it's going to they're all just going to cannibalize each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He was one of the wide receivers in free agency I was a little bit excited about. But, I mean, Rob, I'll kick it to you, and thanks for correcting me on the Bridgewater thing because that completely slipped my mind on that one. But what are your thoughts with Robbie Anderson?
Steve, you went back in time. It's all right. It happens to me quite frequently. I usually just call it a flashback, but like, all right, man. So welcome back to Thursday, March 26th. It is March, right, guys?
I believe so. Okay. My days are blending together now.
Yeah.
Steve's been cooped up in the house for way too long.
I am just so shell-shocked from Robbie Anderson going to the Carolina Panthers that I'm left confuddled. This is very hard to process, and I am not in love with this for anybody other than Robbie Anderson for getting paid. Good for you, buddy, going from Temple all the way up to getting paid. Good for you.
Yep.
Now, as for fantasy, what in the actual hell, man? Okay, so we've got Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. And we kind of got last year clarification that DJ Moore was going to be the wide receiver one and Curtis Samuel is the big play splash guy. So depending on your roster construction, then we're going into this year, we're like, oh, DJ Moore is going to be a borderline top 10 wide receiver. Get him while you can. Now we're all going, crap, that's all useless information now. Because what's going to happen with Robbie Anderson? Is he going to profile as a number one wide receiver? So I saw an article that said that the Carolina Panthers view Robbie Anderson as a what was the word that they used? And I had it in my head. They said that he was a versatile receiver. That's not the word they used, but that he could do everything. And I don't know that that's really Robbie Anderson's game. I think he's a great deep threat, like you guys have mentioned earlier. And I think he can do a lot with the ball in his hand. But if you're asking the man to be the wide receiver one, I think they're going to have to use a lot of bunch formations and try to create misdirection out there on the field to utilize all the speed that they have. Christian McCaffrey is obviously, I think he benefits from another wide receiver coming in because it clears running lanes out for him. You can't stack the box with all three of those guys in there. You know, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't exactly throw the ball deep, but if you get the ball in Robbie Anderson's hands 15, 20 yards down the field, he can take it to the house. The man is fast. So I think we're going to have to see this one play out to really know what happens to the fantasy value. I love Robbie Anderson, but I also love DJ Moore because he went to Maryland. So, and George knows from our days on the Blitz crew that I am a Curtis Samuel truther.
Yep.
This is the truth. But I can't get on board with any of them.
When they do a three wide receiver set, who do you think is going to be playing out the slot? Is it going to be DJ Moore?
I mean, to me, it makes the most sense because he's the best route runner out of all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's also very, very good on the outside. And, you know, you could do some quick slants, some quick out routes with Curtis Samuel because he can run those pretty well. And he's the type of guy that, you know, he's another one that if you get the ball in his hands in space, he can do some damage with it too. So I, you know, it's very hard to tell. And I guess to Rob's point, we're going to have to see how this thing plays out because it can go a number of ways with the versatility that DJ Moore has, the versatility that Christian McCaffrey has, the versatility that Curtis Samuel has. And Robbie Anderson is not, you know, like a terrible route runner, but he's also not very polished either. He is more that deep threat guy. So I don't know. I guess we'll see because I was confused on it. I wasn't sure if it was just me or what. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But, you know, some other wide receiver names to mention. I mean, there's Randall Cobb went to the Texans to replace DeAndre Hopkins.
That I'm telling you, Bill O'Brien. He said, you know what? I'm going to go out and get Randall Cobb because he's got more experience than DeAndre Hopkins.
No, he went out and got Randall Cobb because Randall Cobb has less baby mamas.
Whatever the reason is, man, whatever
it is. I'm going to go with the experience. This dude's got way more NFL experience than DeAndre Hopkins. Get that bum off my team right now. Bring in some Randall Cobb. I like corn on the cob.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I laughed hysterically at that when I saw that. I said, wow, you're going to trade him to bring in, you know, David Johnson, who's going to be 28, I think, by season's end or something like that. And then you bring Randall Cobb in to pair up with a broken Will Fuller. And well, I don't know what they're doing with Kiki Cutie, but whatever. I guess we'll see what happens with that. So Breshad Perriman, who was a nice little flash at the end of the season last year, he signed with the Jets.
I like
Philip Dorsett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to see just because nothing truly excites me with the Jets because of Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Like, just his name just, I don't know. I don't like it. So that's another one. I guess we'll see what happens. But Philip Dorsett to Seattle, Funchess to Green Bay. You know, I had one of the guys I used to record with a lot, JJ Gosh. He's over there with Eat Sleep Fantasy, but he's an avid Green Bay fan. And I asked his opinion on Devin Funchess. And I said, "What are your thoughts on that?" He goes, he's basically, what did he say? He's like a younger, slower version of Jimmy Graham or something along those lines. So, which I thought was pretty comparable.
Houses. Harsh though.
Or no, a younger, faster version of Jimmy Graham. I'm sorry. That's what it was.
I just want to know if they're putting Devin Funchess at tight end, because that's the only, way I would like that.
I don't know. Well, I mean, Funch has done, his catch rate's terrible, though. And we all know how Rodgers is when he doesn't trust his Funch targets. Funch is
terrible.
He is. And he has been for a while. So I don't get the signing. I really don't. But Nelson Agholor to the Raiders. And then as far as I've seen, DeMarcus Robinson hasn't signed anywhere yet. So that's just down the list of the wide free agents that we looked at there. And now let's dive into some rookies. Before we do, here are some teams that I kind of think either have an absolute need or could potentially need some wide receivers. Now, the Bears are one of them, and you guys might ask why, because of Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller being there, but they don't really have anybody outside of that. And with Allen Robinson's contract and everything that's going on in Green Bay, I'm just kind of curious as to how much longer he's going to be there. So that's kind of one reason why I look at the Bears that could have a potential need at wide receiver. And then you have the Bengals. We talked about AJ Green, obviously Tyler Boyd's there. I'm not truly a John Ross truther, but there are some out there that are. So there's a lot of question marks at that position for the Bengals that could be looking for a wide receiver. You know, I actually meant to take this team off of this list after Diggs went there, but I had the Bills on there. I mean, John Brown's 29. You know, obviously Diggs is, he's a younger guy, but they don't really have anybody outside of that. We saw some good things with, I think it was Isaiah McKenzie. He's a good gadget guy too, but Bills could potentially be looking for somebody a little bit later, I guess. Still, you have the Broncos, the Colts, Cowboys no longer. I did have them on there as a possibility, but you know, with Cooper signing there and then you have Gallup there, I don't know. Maybe they could look at somebody in a later round as well. The Eagles are a definite. You have the Giants, you have the Jaguars, the Jets, Lions possibly. Patriots definitely need wide receivers. The Raiders could use some help. The Ravens could use some help. Redskins, Steelers maybe. Texans obviously need it now.
They and just signed the Randall Cobb, man. They're good. Randall Cobb, man. Come on. That's disrespect.
And then you have the Vikings, man, especially after just trading away Diggs. So there's a handful of teams that, you know, through the first 2 days of the draft are going to be in the market for wide receivers. And there's a lot of wide receivers to be had in this draft class. So diving into these rookies here, the first guy I want to talk about is CD Lamb. In my opinion, I think this guy is the best wide receiver in the class. He can really do it all. I would say probably, you know, he needs to polish up his route running a little bit, but that's something that'll just come with time in the NFL. Like any other wide receiver comes, because obviously the game speed is different and so on and so forth. But this guy, he's an animal, man. He's a physical wide receiver. He's very difficult to bring down. He's an elusive wide receiver. He almost reminds me a little bit of Davante Adams in his style of play. And just how well he plays the game and how difficult he is to bring down, the way he can position himself and make big plays and make catches and so on and so forth. You know, this is a guy that last year had 62 catches for, you know, over 1,300 yards and had 14 touchdowns. His junior year, it would have been the sophomore year, he had 11 touchdowns and had over 1,000 yards and over 60 catches too. So, Rob, I'm going to kick it to you first, man. Where do you see CD Lamb? Like, what would be like one of your favorite landing spots for him?
So things changed once DeAndre Hopkins was transferred over to Arizona. I thought that was pretty much probably the most popularly linked place for CeeDee Lamb because he played with Kyler Murray and everybody was super excited about that. But now we've got some other places that are going to need and they're going to take it early. I have seen people link him to the Raiders. They definitely need a number one wide receiver, although that wouldn't be my favorite place. I think the Colts would be a great place for him to land. Phillip Rivers is probably got 2 years, 3 years left in him at most. Some people think he's washed up already, but somebody like CeeDee Lamb to pair with T.Y. Hilton would be absolutely amazing. I don't know who the Colts have as their second wide receiver. It may still be Deion Kane, who's shown some kind of flashes but hasn't been able to consistently do it. So.
Deion Kane went to Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah, I think their wide receiver two is is it Andy Isabella? Did they draft him last year?
No, Isabella is with the Cardinals. See, nobody knows who their number two wide receiver is. So not even them.
Here's the problem though. They're not gonna get CeeDee Lamb though, because they dealt their first round pick. And if we assume CeeDee Lamb's going in the first round, as much as I would love to see him go to Indianapolis, it's just, unless they trade up, it's just not feasible.
Well, he asked me where I would like them to go, yeah, George. I said where I would like them to go. What's up with you raining on everybody's parade on podcasts about this kind of stuff, guy?
I'm cranky, goddammit.
I understand you've been stuck in your house too much, but good Lord, man.
I'm going stir crazy as
Leave me alone, sir.
I love you,
Rob. I just think he would pair well with T.Y. Hilton, and they need a big body, because they haven't had somebody since Devin Funchess. So as far as a good place for a landing spot now, is it reasonable? No. Is it like by any means going to happen? Most likely not. They would have to make a huge move. The Ravens have slowly acquired some draft capital and maybe looking to make a move for a wide receiver. So if he's still on the board at 10 or 11, I would love to see him go there as a homer. But I also think the Raiders would be a good fit. You know, that would be fun with Derek Carr. And that's one of the places that I see him most consistently mocked to now.
So
what about you, George?
I was going to say, I think if the Raiders don't take him at pick 12, I think he goes at 13. I think he goes to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I think you put him on one side with Jimmy G, and then you have Debo on the other side. I mean, San Francisco really doesn't have a whole lot of holes on their team. Obviously, they're, you know, just coming off a trip to the Super Bowl, and adding somebody like CeeDee Lamb to their team would make them, I think, heavy favorites to get back out of the NFC this year. So I think if he doesn't go to Vegas at 12, I think he comes off the board at 13. I think he goes to San Francisco.
See, that's like, that would be my favorite spot for him as a 49er fan. But the next guy we're going to talk about, I can see him going to San Francisco, because I think he's more of Shanahan's guy, and that's Jerry Jeudy. Now, like CeeDee Lamb, you know, I could potentially see somebody like, I don't know, you know, the Jets looking at him potentially. They have a need there. They really do. And they're sitting there picking at 11. So that's a possibility as well. As much as I would hate to see that happen, that's also a possibility. You know, Denver could be a possibility at 15 if he falls there, to put along with Cortland Sutton. That would be ridiculously dangerous, especially with Noah Fant at tight end. I mean, you'd have an extremely young core of just amazing talent. But Jerry Jeudy, to me, he's the best route runner in the entire class. The guy gets very good separation. He's a burner, and man, he's just, he's a lot of fun to watch. And the reason why I can see him being more towards San Francisco, and I think just from mock drafts that I've seen, is he's starting to get geared more towards that direction. is because of his route running ability, the separation that he gets, and he's amazing with the ball in his hands and his space in space. And he's an absolute burner. I mean, you put him with Deebo Samuel in the way that offensive system works. He could do a lot of damage as a rookie, just like Deebo did last year. And those two together, you know, with George Kittle, obviously, and it almost seems like it doesn't matter what running back is in that backfield. They're just going to pound the shit out of the football. And then you're going to rely on these wide receivers, these dynamic wide receivers, to keep the game short for Jimmy Garoppolo. Cause I mean, obviously we all saw how exposed he could get when the game is in his hand and he's forced to go downfield at times. But you know, they just lost Emmanuel Sanders and, you know, Judy kind of fits that style of wide receiver. So, you know, that's kind of my thought with that. And George, what are your thoughts with Judy and where would you like to see him go?
So where I think he's going to go and where I want him to go are going to be two different places. I think Adam Gase is going to draft him at,
Adam Gase ruins everybody.
He does. He absolutely ruins him. I honestly think he goes pick 11 to the Jets. I think Adam Gase, it's horrible. I understand that. I get it. It's absolutely horrible. We don't want that. I will pour one out for you, Jerry, if you get drafted by the Jets.
Somebody make George stop.
Where I want him to go is going to be the team you mentioned earlier. I think he's going to – I would hope he goes to Denver. I think as long as they can solve their issues at quarterback, because I'm not a Drew Lock believer – but I think they're gonna give him another weapon to pair on the other side of Cortland Sutton. You got Melvin Gordon now in the backfield. I think Denver is gonna do everything they can to make Drew Lock succeed and give him every opportunity in the world to do it. So I would like him to go to Denver. I'm just terrified that he's gonna end up in New Jersey with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm terrified of that too, man. I don't want any of these wide receivers to go to the Jets. Let them have Rashad Perriman and just go about their day.
The problem is it's a huge need for the Jets, and this class is absolutely loaded. It's just so loaded with wide receivers. I could see Adam Gase screwing everything up.
What say you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and second the notion of Gase hate and okay, so the unfortunate, like, realistic way this is going to happen is one of these top receivers is going to end up in New York, and that's the way it's going to happen, and I'm really hoping somebody can leapfrog to do it in front of them, but yeah, either Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb is going to the New York Jets, and that's how that's going to happen, and that sucks. Now I agree with George. That would be a lot of fun to see him in Denver. I wouldn't mind somebody, CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy ended up in Jacksonville either. They have some bigger needs than wide receiver, but they don't have a number one down there. And I think Gardner Minshew and the mustache would both benefit from having a true number one. That could make that offense more dynamic with Leonard Fournette. And really, they don't have a tight end right now that we can speak of, anybody of note. And their wide receiving core has been a rotation of, what, Keelan Cole and whom?
Marquise Lee.
D.D. Westbrook
is the other guy.
D.J. Chark's the only real bright side that you can look at. Now, I mean, D.D. really let me down last year, man. I had high hopes for D.D.
It's all a bunch of wide receiver twos and threes, is what it is. And they need an alpha receiver. They haven't had one since they let Allen Robinson get away to the Bears. I think I would like to see him in Jacksonville, but I don't think fucking Adam Gase. That's all I gotta say.
Jacksonville, like, they love the draft defense, and they pick at 9 and they pick at 20, so they could most likely probably take somebody on the defensive side of the ball at 9 And then some of these other guys we're going to talk about here in a second, take them at 20, because here's with the need at wide receiver on these teams, listen to this window. So at 20, you have Jacksonville, 21, the Eagles, 22, you have Minnesota. And that's what they got from Buffalo there. And then 23, New England. So that's four teams right now that have the need at that position that are going to probably be looking to draft wide receivers. And one of the first guys we could talk about there is Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU. This guy, he's very quick. He's very athletic, and he's a playmaker, man. He has great burst off the line, wins contested catches, ball skills. I mean, he's like a quarterback's best friend. He really is. And he's a lot of fun to watch. And he was obviously involved with a very dynamic LSU offense. And I have a feeling we're going to see a handful of, you know, fairly good NFL players come off of that team. You know, this is a guy that last year caught 111 balls for 1,540 yards and 18 touchdowns as a college wide receiver in a loaded offense. So this guy, he has a lot of promise. And this is – he's actually somebody that DJ Chark touted when he was drafted. He came out of there, and he told everybody from day one, like, watch this kid, see what he's going to come up to. And I have a feeling he's probably going to try and sway his front office to take a look at this guy. But, you know, with those four teams that we talked about from 20 to 23, man, Justin Jefferson would look good on any one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean – what are your thoughts, Rob?
I think Justin Jefferson would fit a lot of those rosters, and I think a realistic landing spot for him would be New England. They are going to need somebody to step up and play that number one role. Now, you got N'Keal Harry, who started to show out at the end of the year, but once Julian Edelman's gone, Philip Dorsett is now in Seattle, as you mentioned earlier. What do they have? Jacoby Myers. Who is he still there?
I believe he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're running thin, and they need somebody that can profile and step up and catch a lot of passes and do a lot with the ball after the catch. So I think Justin Jefferson profiles perfectly for them, and I would hate it. I do not want to see that dynasty build up with Brian Hoyer. How upsetting would that be?
I mean, they're going to have to do something, man, because I think they're going to give Stidman a shot, right? And mm-hmm. they have a lot of running backs that they can use, too, and they definitely need to rebuild that pass game, especially with Brady gone, too. I mean, what are your thoughts, George?
So I'm going to see Rob's Brian Hoyer, and I'm going to raise him a Derek Carr.
Ooh.
I think 19th overall, so it was right before – the teams that Steve mentioned, because he went Jaguars, Eagles, Vikings, Patriots, but before them all is those sneaky Raiders. And
yeah, but they just signed Nelson Aguilar.
Exactly. And that's why
Randall Cobb.
That's why they need to draft a number one wide receiver. I think they're gonna need somebody to build around in Vegas. And Tyrell Williams, I'm a huge Tyrell Williams fan. I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's a number one wide receiver on a team, though. They need a number one wide receiver. Justin Jefferson projects as a wide receiver one on a team. I think John Gruden is going to fall in love with him come draft time, and I think he's going to go out to the black and silver and become a Raider.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. The Raiders have always been teams that ruin wide receivers for me, too. So that's definitely a place that I would not want to see him go. I mean, Jefferson, I would absolutely love in Philadelphia.
Yes.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, I agree.
I think that would be a beautiful spot for him.
I think the next guy that you're going to talk about here, Steve, is much more likely to end up there.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I love Henry Ruggs. Like, Ruggs is – so that's another wide receiver group over there, too, that everybody needs to pay attention to, because the third wide receiver on that team, Devontae Smith, that guy, he's got some promise, too, and he's somebody that you're probably going to be able to get a little bit later in dynasty drafts because he's, you know, hidden behind Judy and Ruggs. But As far as Ruggs goes, man, he's probably the fastest wide receiver this entire class, and he plays fast and he's physical. He's another one that's very scary with the ball in space. And, you know, with the needs that Philadelphia has, I mean, that's obviously a huge one. He could also fit – he's another one that could fit really well in Jacksonville too with his style of play, complementing to DJ Chark as well. But, you know, any of these guys like Justin Jefferson, Henry Ruggs, even when we talk about Jalen Reagor, I'm like, those are guys that I look at that could be beautiful fits in Philly, and those are ideal spots that I like to see. Any of those guys, you know, Ruggs last year, you know, I mean, these stats really aren't all that sexy, but you go back and you look at this guy play and you look at the Alabama offense and you can just see it, you know, if you look at his game film, because I mean, he caught 40 balls last year, you know, for 746 yards and 7 touchdowns. His sophomore year, his stats were very similar. He caught 46 for 741 and he had 11 touchdowns. This is playing, you know, complementary role to Jerry Jeudy, and this guy's just got a lot of talent, man, and I can't wait to see what he does at this next level. He almost kind of reminds me a little bit of like a Tyreek Hill style of a player, and I'm just kind of excited to see what he does at this next level. And what say you, George?
So I have two landing spots for him. Obviously, he can't go to both, but I really like him going to Philadelphia. I think that is a honestly, it's a perfect match for what that team needs. We've seen Carson Wentz play at a high level when he has that field stretcher, and Ruggs definitely fits that bill as a field stretcher. The other spot I really like him is one pick later at Minnesota. Just got rid of Stephon Diggs. They have a hole there across from Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen's 30 years old. So they definitely need to start looking at possibly getting some a little bit younger blood into that wide receiving core. And I think if you put Ruggs on the field with Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook, like that right there, that trio really
and Irv Smith.
Yeah. With Andrew,
you know, you're gonna get another year out of him too. And the beautiful thing that Minnesota has, to your point about looking at, because I mean, this is the window here for these wide receivers, is they have a pick at 22 and 25.
Yep, yeah, and that's why I think if Philly passes on him at 21, I think he goes at 22. If they don't take him at 22, I'm not even sure he's there at 25.
Yeah, it's quite possible that he's not. I mean, in between, because if he doesn't go at 22, either somebody trades up, New England could take him at 23. You know, he would be a good complement to drawing a blank on his name right now. The guy they drafted out of Arizona State last year, N'Keal Harry. Thank you. You know, he'd be a good complement to him. They're different styles. You know, so I mean, that's, New England could be a good place too, unless somebody trades up, which we all know how New England likes to trade back. Get draft capital.
I have a perfect trade partner for them as well.
Who would that be?
The Packers.
Yeah.
Packers absolutely. Trade up from 30 to 23, maybe throw in like a second round pick this year, and Packers jump up and take him. And I would love to see him on Green Bay. Unless somebody trades up though, and he gets passed over by both Minnesota and the Eagles, I could see somebody trading up to New England to take that pick. I don't think New England is going to draft him.
See, the biggest thing about all this that really bums me out is that we're not seeing these guys in their pro days.
Yep.
Really kind of bums me out, man, because it gives you another level of what's going on out of the combine, you know, especially if you're one that doesn't really watch a lot of college football, or, you know, just, you know, for fun or whatever, you look at highlights on YouTube or whatever. It just gives you another sense of comfort and where these guys could land and what teams could be looking for and so on and so forth. So it just really kind of sucks that everybody in general is missing out on the pro day aspect of all this stuff. Next guy I want to look at though is Jalen Reagor. He's a home run hitter, very fluid guy, he's explosive in his routes, and he high points the ball well. I mean, this is another guy that he's very exciting, and I think can have a very, very successful NFL career. I wouldn't, I don't know if I'm going to go out and say that he's going to be a superstar or anything like that, but I think this guy's going to be good. You know, he missed a few games in 2019. He missed a game in 2018. Health doesn't really seem to be on his side all that much, but when he's on the field, he's very efficient with what he does. You know, I mean, last year, in 12 games, he caught 43 balls for over 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. But the previous year, his sophomore year, he caught 72 for over 1,000 and 9 touchdowns. So, you know, this is another guy that they could also get involved with the running game too a little bit, you know, kind of similar to what San Francisco would do with Deebo Samuel. So, you know, as far as now, I don't know if Rieger's going to be a first round guy, you know, if anything late, you know, I think him, you know, Henry Ruggs might be the cutoff as far as like first round wide receivers in my mind. But, you know, the style of player that Jalen Rieger is, you know, Rob, where would be a good spot you'd like to see him land?
Houston would be a great spot for him. They need somebody that's going to stay on the field. That's not Will Fuller. And George, I know you're trying to sell me on this, but Randall Cobb.
Tonga, he's experienced.
Wide receiver Randall one.
Cobb. Okay, so, I mean, they have a slot receiver. That's cool. but I think they do need somebody. And I think they do like the speedy wide receiver. So Jalen Rieger, who is physical and can make big plays and, you know, has good hands, I think he could help them out a lot in the upcoming year without DeAndre Hopkins.
Interesting.
What about you, George?
So I agree. I believe Jalen Rieger is going to be a day two wide receiver. I think he goes to Pittsburgh, to be honest. I think he falls to 49, and I think the Steelers draft a wide receiver with their first pick in the 2020 NFL draft.
So let me ask you this, if you're looking at that, between James Washington and Deontay Johnson, who are you not sold on?
Washington.
Yeah, he's the one I'm not sold on either. Yep. And I think Rob feels the same way as well, because we both have kind of a love for Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I like Deontay Johnson. I like Juju. I'm not sold Juju is as bad as we've seen him last year. I mean, for the love of all that's holy, he had a guy by the name of Duck throwing him the ball. And when Duck wasn't throwing him the ball, he had a guy named Mason. So it's not all Juju's fault, okay? The quarterback play was atrocious. The offensive line was banged up pretty bad. Their running back core was banged up really bad. Connor was in and out of the lineup. No consistency at all. Overall, I think it was just a really bad year for the Steelers offense. I don't think Big Ben coming back solves everything that was wrong with that offense, but I do think he solves a lot of what was wrong with that offense. The defense came on really strong after trading for Micah Fitzpatrick. So I think the defense is not something that they're going to address early in the draft. I think they're going to go out and get themselves some more firepower. And I think they're going to do it, and I think they're going to draft the wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think you're far off, man. I mean, Ben's 38, and he's coming back from an elbow injury, right? Yeah. And it's a nasty one, obviously. And which, you know what, shout out to that guy with his beard. I think it could be a little more clean cut, like, you know, like Fitzmagic rocks the beard, right, man? I mean, Ben's is a little more free flowing.
I think. Listen, Ben's got enough money. He needs to go out and get him one of those heated combs that just you just comb through the beard. You know, it straightens the hairs out a little bit. You know, you can style it a little bit better. I seen a thing on Twitter. He posted a video about staying home. Yep. And I tweeted it with the comment, who the F is this homeless guy telling me to stay home? Because that's what he looked like. So Ben's got to do some work with that beard. He looked like he was probably gained about 20 to 25 pounds. Hopefully.
Yeah, the beard.
I don't know if it's the beard. Well, it might be 25 pounds worth of beard. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I do know Ryan Fitzpatrick does definitely rock the beard better. But yeah, I all seriousness, I think I think that's where the Steelers make their move. I think they're going to take Rieger at 49. And he's the type of playmaker that they need opposite of Juju. The speedster, the home run hitter. I like Deontay Johnson. I don't think he's nearly the speedster and home run hitter that Rieger is. So I think you put Juju on one side, Rieger on the other. You got Johnson in the slot, and James Washington, you can get water for us.
Yep. No, I don't disagree. And like, you know, even to your point with Juju, like there was a lot against him last year going in. Like it was being different, being the number one without AB there. And a lot of people kind of referenced that whole situation with Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, with how that developed after Harrison moved on. But I don't think Juju got a fair shake. You know, he lost Ben. It just wasn't a good situation at all. So we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, yeah, that would definitely be a good spot for him. So this next guy, I really enjoy him as a player. I just wish he was a little more durable. But I still think he's going to be a day two selection just because of his ability. And that's Laviska Shenault. I mean, he's the type of wide receiver that can play all three spots. And he does have great hands. He's just an overall good wide receiver. Dude just can't stay healthy. I mean, he played 11 games last year, caught 56 balls for 764 yards. The previous season, he only played 9 games, had 86 catches for over 1,000 yards. The guy's super talented. He just has to stay on the field. You know, and he's another one that, man, he's the type of player that – And I don't think he'll go that high, but could be a good spot. Cincinnati could be a good spot for him, to be perfectly honest with you. Or if Jacksonville doesn't load up on wide receivers or at least take one in the first, I shouldn't say load up, but not take a wide receiver in the first round, he could be a target of theirs in the second round as well, you know, even Denver. But, I mean, this guy, he's super talented, man, and I just can't wait to see what he does as long as he stays healthy because he is a good wide receiver. I mean, what are your thoughts, George?
So I have him actually going in the first round. And it's
really?
Yeah, and the team that I have him going to absolutely loves players that can play multiple positions. And that would be the New England Patriots. I think he's the type of player Bill Belichick loves. You could put him on the field. You can put him out wide. You could put him in the slot. He's super versatile. And Bill Belichick has a history of taking players who could play multiple positions because he could do so much more with them. And it definitely, if it's a need, because Julian Edelman is not getting any younger. To be honest, the N'Keal Harry, the question is still out on him. We really haven't seen anything from him. He was, you know, he injured last year. So we don't know if that's going to be the wide receiver one there for the future or not. So we're not sure if N'Keal Harry is going to be the wide receiver one there. And I could see New England addressing the wide receiver position in this draft. And like I said earlier, especially if Green Bay wants to trade up, I could see New England trading back and then getting their guy at 30.
It's funny that you brought up Green Bay, George, because that's one of the places that if Shenault does go in the first round, like I think he's going to slightly fall out of the first round just because of his durability issues. But if Green Bay wouldn't trade up from what you were talking about and stay at 30 and Shenault's there, that's a guy I would love to see opposite of Davante Adams, especially with how versatile he is, the fact that he can move around, he can play all three spots. You know, there's been that search for the last couple of years for that second wide receiver. Obviously they had it for a glimpse with Jordy and Davante Adams. I think they can recapture that with that new system. And I think he would fit that system. And I think that's somebody that Rodgers can rely on as long as he can stay on the field. Now, Rob, what are your thoughts on Shenault, man? Cause I think he could actually be really good with your Ravens too, to be honest with you.
I'd like to see him there, but my biggest issue is the durability, and I don't want to spend high draft capital on somebody who's not going to be able to stay on the field. And I think that's going to cross the mind of a few GMs as the draft day comes across. So I think he falls out of the first round a little bit, but I really, Steve, you might have talked me into him being pick number 30 there for the Green Bay Packers or somebody else trading in for that. But I think he would fit that Matt LaFleur system really well and be a great second wide receiver across from Davante Adams. So I'm going to sign off on that and call it a day.
I like it. I love it. So just a couple other names I will bring up real quick before we wrap this up is, you know, you have a very physical specimen that's a fast wide receiver. I think he's another one that has a lot of potential to be very good, and that's Michael Pittman Jr. And as I mentioned these names, if any of them piques your guys' interest, feel free to jump in. But Denzel Mims is another one that his name has definitely becoming more and more known. You know, especially through the combine process. And, you know, he's another one that I wish we would have seen a pro day out of him. Now, a name that, you know, we didn't bring up and really talk about with some of these other guys that some people are probably going to be like, where the hell is T. Higgins? I'm not 100% sold on T. Higgins. I don't know about you guys. You know, I'm just, maybe I'm in the minority or what, but just from what I see, I mean, yeah, sure, he's looked good, but I just don't know if he's going to have that at the next level. We've seen a lot of big wide receivers like him that have just had successful college careers and then just be total flops in the NFL. There's Brandon Ayuk, who, you know, is Arizona State product there, and he's raw talent that could be very good. You know, he's another one that I want to watch and see how he develops over the next couple of years, because he is kind of an interesting prospect there. And then you got Chase Claypool, Bryan Edwards. I mean, there's a few other names out there that you can look at, and I'm sure there's some that I'm missing that some, you know, dynasty owners are going to be looking at. But this is a very deep class. We could go on and on and on about some of these guys, but so yeah, I mean, let's just go ahead and wrap this up here. You know, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening to another episode here. You know, again, stay safe out there. These are definitely some tough times. And, you know, during this whole coronavirus thing, I don't know if you guys have seen it on Twitter. If not, check it out. But recently, Alex Edwards with Sleeper Wire here, he just released his rookie draft database. Well, he's going to be dropping it April 9th, I should say. But right now he's making it available to pre-order, to where 50% of the money that goes towards that is going to go towards the coronavirus relief. So things that are included as you look at offense and IDP advanced stats and market shares, targets and first down data, innovative metrics that you can't find anywhere else. I mean, he's put a lot of time and effort into this thing. He actually put a really cool graphic to it that's kind of references the movie The Predator. So, you know, again, his Twitter handle is at It's Draft Season. Alex Edwards, go check it out. You know, the cost of it is $9.99, but it's going to be available for $7.50 if you're pre-ordered before Monday 3:30. So just use the PayPal link below. If you go to his Twitter profile, you'll find it. Check all that out. And if you're interested, click on that link, go there. And again, 50% of that money goes towards the coronavirus relief. Before we sign off here again, follow the Sleeper Wire Show at Sleeper Wire Show on Twitter. Rob, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at esorbor1. That's ESORBOR1, because my name is Rob Rose and that is my name backwards. You can also find me on the Sleeper app at esorbor.
I like it. George, where can we find you, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at BFTGpod, and you can find me on the Sleeper app where I'm at BFTGEO.
And then myself, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Sleeper app, anywhere. I use the same handle, at SPAC21, SSPAC21. That's where you'll find me. So be sure to go on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you guys enjoy your podcasts, go there and subscribe to the Sleeper Wire Show. So you guys will get alerts when all of our latest content's coming out. We constantly have things coming out. You know, we're going to do some more of these rookie shows here. George and Rob and the rest of the Blitz crew, they've been doing some Dynasty trade shows. Is that right, guys? Did I say that right?
Yeah, we've been doing some, we did a running back dynasty trade show. We should have a dynasty wide receiver trade show dropping either tomorrow or Saturday. And we're going to be doing a tight end quarterback after that. And then I've got some more stuff up my sleeve for these dynasty game shows that are just going to be absolutely awesome.
I like a little tease like that. Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, very nice.
So with that stuff there, and then, you know, you guys have been seeing the Sleeper Wire short episodes coming out. So we're continuing those. So just a lot of various things in the hopper that are going to come at you guys. So make sure you're subscribed to where you enjoy your podcast so you don't miss out on all of those, because we are going through the off season and take you all the way into the season and then carry on from there with the content that you had last year, if not more. Definitely stay tuned. Until the next time, y'all be easy.